Hi, I'm Forrest Griffin.
Brian Caraway.
And Misha Tate.
What's up, guys? This is Joseph Benavidez, UFC flyweight.
Hi, this is Greg Jackson, and you're listening to It's MMA Zing, and that is an amazing pun.
Get it? Like MMA, but amazing? Amazing.
Radio.
Welcome to It's Amazing Radio. I am your host, Dr. Law. Joining me this week, the legend himself, Lavender Gooms.
Hey, Bobby. Happy Monday to you and happy Tuesday to whoever is going to be listening to this tomorrow. And as always, shout out to my chosen people and happy beginning of Passover, which is today, Bobby, on Monday. How about that?
I don't know why I thought it was on the 20th. Is it always Monday?
I don't know. I'm not Jewish.
No.
I know it changes.
It says changes annually.
Much like Easter.
So.
Yeah, much like Easter.
I mean, shout out to everybody. It's Earth Day. Just saying.
I believe that was on 420, wasn't it?
No, it's today.
Or is that? Oh, why did I always think Earth Day just fell on 420?
Because the jokes were best that day. I think it's the Monday always because they want to make sure, you know. You got to think about the Earth on top of work also.
Is it because Mondays are already kind of a bummer, so they might as well have you think about the death of our planet on that day as well?
I mean, maybe. And some like fucking like depressing ass fucking holidays on this thing, bro. What's going on tomorrow? What is that?
What are you talking about? Today is also Happy National Jelly Bean Day.
I'm not a jelly bean guy. It's not my thing. Mm. You ever do like that Bean Boozle or whatever it's called game where like you get like it's like they get two belly jelly beans. You get a jelly bean and it's either going to taste like it's either going to taste something like something gross or something delicious. Like it's either going to taste like, I don't know, strawberry banana or like diaper. I'm not kidding. This is a real game.
I'm pretty sure that was the basis of a candy from Harry Potter.
I mean, this is like a real thing, though. Like, I've seen like this is like random YouTuber shit where people buy this game and like, you know, you got like it's like I think it's called Bean Boozle. Look it up, Bean Boozle.
I do not want to play that game ever. Also, on Tuesday, for those of you listen, then Happy National Lost Dog Awareness Day. So you know, maybe chip your dogs, you cheap ass owners.
I mean, your dogs. That's you're still fucked. The dog gets away. Just saying. Where's my dog? One second. My dog's right there.
Do you have a chip in her?
I do. She's also right there. So.
Well, shout out to Luna.
Yeah. Shout out to Luna. Shout out to all the dogs. Saw the shelter that we got, Mark got his dog from. Got a change of ownership, a change of name. You actually went there one time with me.
Is Tony La Russa no longer the owner of it?
He is not. Tony La Russa had a dispute with the people running it, and now it's not called ARF anymore, Animal Rescue Foundation. It's called like Joy something or another. This is real inside baseball shit. But I was literally on like on Instagram and it said you're following this dog shelter and I never heard of this name before. I had to do some digging.
What type of dispute can a man have with a dog shelter?
Poor
that he decides to not be associated with.
I think they created a toxic work environment and they had a bunch of lawsuits there. Was some of the scuttlebutt.
Considering it's a dog shelter
with volunteers,
what was the toxicity? Too much chocolate?
I don't know. They were calling ageism and racism, and I'm just like, well, I live in Walnut Creek. Some of those things are probably true. So, no, I love my city. So, you know, just you got some people here. You got some people here. National Cherry Cheesecake Day. Let me tell you, that's worse than a regular cheesecake.
Let me tell you something right now, Bobby. A cheesecake doesn't need any accoutrement. Okay, just cheesecake with a graham cracker, all right, lining.
Did we try to figure out what made something a New York cheesecake at one point, or was that with somebody else? We didn't know the difference. I'm still not clear.
I have no idea what makes a cheesecake a New York cheesecake. Probably just arrogance.
All right, folks. By the way, this you know the MMA calendar right now. Ain't shit going on. Mark's not here. This is gonna be full nonsense. Like Mike and I were preparing. And then we started watching the Knicks game. And then we just said go. And let me tell you right now, Mike, somewhere in the next 20 minutes, I'm going to come up with a top five list. or you're going to come up with a top five list. We're just going to do it on the spot. You know, favorite NBA players of all time. That's lazy.
Ooh,
that's
lazy. Allen Houston's definitely going to be in my top five.
It should be like a rule where you can only pick like, it had to be like your favorite Knicks ever, and I could do favorite Warriors ever. So like, you get some obscure shit. Like why? Like some guy you liked as a kid.
I mean, I think I could make this list on the spot right now. We've got Allen Houston.
Okay, we'll do this in give it about 20 minutes. We're doing this thing, okay?
All right. Dude, this will give me some time to properly think about
it. I gotta put some fucking like explanation around my Tim Hardaway pick because Timmy said some stuff. He's come around. He's okay now. He's made amends, but there was a stretch there. Anyway, folks, yeah, ain't shit going on in MMA because we on this podcast at this point, you know, we recognize that there's no point in talking about announced fights because, hell, man, the guy probably didn't sign the contract anyway. Seems like not a lot of business is happening into UFC right now, besides the news of Jamal Hill coming back. Relatively quick turnaround. I believe he's going to be on the Newark card, which is 302, I think. Is it the Conor McGregor is 303? I'm trying to think which one Jamal's on. Jamal Hill is... All right, I was wrong.
Going very quickly.
He's not on 302. He is on the...
I would assume he'd be the headliner, no?
Nah, he's on the Conor McGregor card. He's on 303. He's on the... I mean, that's actually not a bad fight, considering, you know, they've got to pay Conor McGregor pay-per-view points, so not going to put anything else on there.
For what reason is he doing this quick turnaround? I mean,
money.
I like Khalil Roundtree, but
money.
Fight Khalil Roundtree?
Money.
I feel that's a very dangerous opponent.
Dude, I think Khalil Roundtree deserves
a quick turnaround.
Khalil Roundtree deserves a title shot right now, if I think. He's won five straight.
Five straight?
Yeah. Four finishes.
KO his last two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, this would be a huge step up for Khalil Roundtree. But still, he's been wrecking dudes.
I mean, I would like to see him versus Poatan. Because Khalil Roundtree ain't taking anybody down either. Seems like that fight's going to take about 2 minutes one way or another. So this one too, quite frankly, looks like it's not going to take too long. We're just throwing hands at light heavyweight, bro. There's like one guy who wrestles, it's Ankalaev, but he's got cement for brain. So God knows what he does when he gets in the octagon. So
this 303 card, it's not that far away. And they really need to, you know, build this shit up.
Yo, timeout. So I got Monday Night Raw in the background here, pulling a mic, and they just aired a commercial for what I wanted to talk about right now. The WWE sending an event to the Apex was announced today, okay? Which they didn't just call it the Apex, the world-class something venue, Triple H called it, which I...
Pat McAfee said... It is beautiful in there. A beautiful facilities in the Apex.
I don't think it's not. I think it's a nice facility. I think they're lucky it existed, to be very clear. I think it's the same way AEW owning Daly's Place was great for them. You know, the same way WWE having the Performance Center and like taking up residence with it. It was great for the pandemic. It was wonderful. However... You can't fit any fucking people in there. Nope. You can't. It's not good look. It's real bad. And I don't think that... I think you can... Best case scenario, which I don't know how they're going to do this with the stage and, like, entrance, fit 500 people. But I don't think you can do that without... Like, my understanding is the NXT crowd is bad. They're one that they keep doing shows in front of. They're just a garbage group of people who have decided that they are somehow as important as the show. So, like... I was reading some stuff on this stuff. The NXT crowd's garbage. I don't think this is the answer. So.
NXT, it's filmed out of Orlando?
It's Full Sail University or whatever, I think. Or maybe not Full Sail anymore. Like, they got some arena. Capital, whatever, arena. I don't know. I've been watching wrestling Reddit slowly, like, learn about the Apex today. Because the people who are MMA fans are like, y'all don't even know how much of a turd this thing is. Like, they're starting to dawn on them how bad this is going to be. But most of them don't. Oh, here we go. The state-of-the-art UFC Apex has been home to many incredible events. Those events all took place during the pandemic. Now they're just home to events. Yep. Home to slap fighting. We'll see, man. We'll see what they do with it. Maybe if they build a nice stage, the UFC can use it the following week and, you know, get some, you know, WWE makes all this effort on production. So anyway, so yeah, Jamal Hill coming back, UFC 303. It's not going to be a good card necessarily, like, but they're going to like put a couple bangers on there, I'm sure. Like already, like Andre Feely versus Cub Swanson, not a bad fight. Just, you know, for what it's worth. You know, it's the fight of two guys who, if this sport paid well enough, should probably stop. But here we are. Yeah, there's no, the UFC card this week is bad, as usual. It's in the world. It's in the state of the art Apex. We'll pick the main. You know what? Are we gonna just fucking pick the main event right now? I got Nicolau.
We might as well get it done.
Yeah, I got Nicolau. Yeah. Mark's got Nicolau. Who you got?
I've got Nicolau as well.
Yeah. Is it because we know Nicolau better than the other guy? Yes. Let's just not lie to ourselves. That is.
Yeah.
I mean, Perez is not a bad fighter, but yeah.
I mean, granted, we say that, but Alex Perez did fight for a title. No,
he's not a bad fighter. Know? I think he's a decent fighter. It's just like Nicolau won like six in a row before.
I had to do a bit of research. Like, but who, like I was like, Alex Perez, he was, I remember thinking Alex Perez, he was at the top, you know, almost around the top at the at some point, but I couldn't quite remember when. So he did fight for a title like what, 3-4 years ago, and he's running into a bit of a rough patch. But I think a little analysis to this fight, which this is the only fight that we are going to be picking. I think it's just Perez is just a bit too wild from what I remember from his fights. So I think that Minau is going to be able to get the better of him. And that's pretty much the most analysis you're going to get out of me for this fight.
Because I mean, this guy's lost three straight. He's lost three straight, and he's taking this fight on relatively short notice. They're still going to cut his ass if he loses. You know it will. If he loses his fourth straight loss,
it's all about results.
They'll still cut him. Nicolau's won like six straight before losing to Brandon Royval. Like, he's a good fighter, man. And Manel Kopp gets out of fighting in the Apex, somehow gets booked to fight on pay-per-view instead against Kai Kara France, which, if you remember the last time that they were near each other, Kai Kara France pulled out of that fight in Australia because of concussion syndromes, and then Manel Kopp hurled a bunch of homophobic slurs at him.
And what kind of sucks for Perez is it's not like he's lost to scrubs. You know, since he lost the fight to Figgy, he lost to Pantoja and he lost to Mokaev. So not exactly, you know, shitty people to lose to. But I think it's a pretty good chance that he might get cut, as you mentioned, if he loses this one as well.
Yeah. So, by the way, that press conference between Izzy, Drickus, Manel Kopp, and Kai Kara France, it's going to be interesting. And interesting meaning I think we're all going to think less of this sport, which fucking pretty low right now at times. Pretty fucking low. So yeah,
I wonder if Izzy calls him an N-word again.
I don't know. I don't think that. I think Izzy was drunk. Didn't help that case going into that. Like, he had a few drinks. And I feel Drickus might have realized he's not coming off great in these exchanges either. I think everybody might have just like, and also they kind of know each other. Like, there was like this footage of them training together from a few years ago, which is just like, everybody should probably, like, we can sell this fight a little bit, you know, without everybody making everybody hate humanity. We'll see, though. It's a low bar. We're a week away from this pay-per-view in Rio de Janeiro, which I feel bad for these people in Rio, that they got the short end of the four straight pay-per-view awesomeness streak to end with this thing. Because unless Jose Aldo does one of those fucking double flying knees and then dives into the crowd, it's going to be a very forgettable card. So, but yeah, not a lot going on, to be honest. I like that fight, Carcara France and Manel Kopp. I'm in favor of all Manel Kopp fights if he ever actually gets to the fucking cage. Besides that, you know, Topuria makes a real effort for people not to like him. Like, it's weird. Like, I don't know. Like, I know you're, like, taking out people, like, everybody loves, but, like, anyway. His media, his answers to questions are real douchey. And I say this.
Did he say something in the last week? Because I know when, because I finally watched the most of UFC 300, you know, in the week since it happened, since I was on vacation. And when Holloway made his call out, and then when they showed Topuria on the screen, there was a lot of booing for a guy I thought was supposed to be like the next star for.
Oh no, he's a star.
This division.
No, they're not booing. This is not like the Jamal Hill silence that they showed when they showed him in the crowd. No, the kid's a big deal. He's a massive deal. They're gonna go to Spain. It's gonna be great. He just gets some weird ass answers where he's like, the BMF title needs to be on the line when I fight Max Holloway, and then like, if not, he can go to the back of the line and Brian Ortega. He's trying to act like he calls shots, and I'm just like, nobody calls shots in this stupid company. They will. You can be Conor McGregor, and they will announce your fight with Dana White pulling a piece of paper out of his pocket at 2 a.m. Eastern time. That's how they announced that fight. Did you see that? He's at the press conference. Someone hands him a piece of paper that's like crumpled up, and he's like, got some fight announcements. Conor McGregor versus Mike Chandler, UFC 303. And I'm like, remember when they like tried to blackball Ariel for reporting for ruining the Brock Lesnar surprise?
That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, it was fun this weekend, fight sport wise. King Ryan, baby. King Ryan. Let me tell you. Ryan Garcia, like, I'm not going to act like this was entirely planned, because clearly the guy is a bit unhinged, but some of it was looking real calculated at a certain point to me, where I'm just like, there was that video of him singing that song, snapping his fingers in GQ, doing what I do, all white, all right, something like that. Was that something like that, he said? And then it cut to Devin Haney, who just goes, oh, the Ryan Garcia is taking this fight seriously. First of all, that might be the greatest fight promotion I've ever seen in my life. At that moment already, I'm like, that's what I'm doing on Saturday. Okay. But like, at a certain point, I'm just like, this dude is working people on some level. Like, you could pick it. I mean, to be clear, I've been watching wrestling since I was 12 years old, on and off. I can spot a work from a mile away. Okay. That being said, Ray Charles could have seen this one. Okay. Like, when they're like in before the fight, where he's like in this locker room and they're playing classic, they have a live band playing classical music for him, like a couple people playing violin and a cello. And I'm just like, all right, this kid is not. This is like, he missed weight intentionally. It's kind of felt like at a certain point, like the whole thing. And then he goes out there and like, people get real down on Ryan, and I get that Ryan is like pretty boy kid and like he's on YouTube and like, he's with the influencers and stuff, but like, I know he lost a Tank, but the way they made him fight Tank with that weird rehydration clause was a little bit ridiculous. And like, I say this as someone who thinks Tank Garcia is better, Tank Davis is better than all these people. Like, Devin Haney is from here. I like him. Tank Davis would have murdered Devin Haney. Tank Davis is not losing any of these people. But even then, it wasn't like Ryan got smashed. And I'm like, he's fighting under these rough circumstances. Like, kid's a good fighter, and like
it's not surprising that in the fight against Tank, with this rehydration clause, he goes down to a body shot.
Yeah, and people are calling him a quitter, and I'm just like, he got hit like to the liver. What are we talking? I don't know. I don't like when fights. At some level, I don't like it when fight sports become popular and it gets the cultural zeitgeist, because you get some real stupid ass fucking like answers. But like, this fight was fucking like, he dropped him in the first round. First round, he cracked him. He didn't drop him. And I'm just like, oh, okay, let's go. And then, like, Ryan is taking rounds off. It kind of feels like his wind wasn't necessarily all that good, which he was, in fact, drinking nightly and was seen in New York City clubs that week. So some of this was living the gimmick. But, like, that dude's left hand is fucking, he's got power. And he was beating Devin Haney's ass towards the end. And that referee did not have a good night. It was weird. Like, he kept, like, he took a point away from Ryan for like hitting them in the clinch, because they were clinching and Ryan kept cracking him over the thing. And like, but Devin Haney's also
Aren't you allowed to do that in the clinch?
I wasn't even clear what happened, but like Devin Haney was clinching for dear life for at least six rounds. And I got waiting for that point to get taken away.
I know there was one point, one clip I saw where Devin Haney is clearly going down. And the only reason he didn't go down is because he was holding on to dear life.
Well, it looked like the way he was like wasn't called the way he was clinching, it was like he was falling forward to clinch, which made it look even worse. Like he was like leaning in on every clinch too. Like, I don't know. I like Devin Haney. I think Devin Haney's a very technically sound fighter. But like, you can get hit him, man. And he got hit. And I like when I scored it, because some people were just real like shitty about scorecards where they're like, because I saw like when I saw a draw, I was just like, I buy that. That makes sense. But I think I ended up giving Ryan one of the rounds. I think I ended up with like 7-5 or something or whatever. Like the way the math worked out.
But he has some 10-8s in there too. Deducted.
Like I thought he won.
If he had a point deducted though, like
yeah.
Wouldn't that maybe lead to a draw?
One of the 10-8s are gone. So like he had like 2 10-8s, I think.
Ah, gotcha.
But like I was trying to, that's the thing, man. How do you have even number rounds? Why would you ever do even? I don't understand why you have even number rounds. Like,
well, I think the reason why they do that, Bobby, is because there are situations where, considering it is judging, mm-hmm. It might be an actual, you know, decision and a right one to be like, I don't know who won this. Let's call it a draw.
I don't think they just call it a draw, though. They do like round one, this guy. I don't know. I think you should have an odd number of rounds. But anyway, I thought Ryan won and then Ryan did win. But then Ryan didn't become champion because he was overweight, meaning they got to run this thing back. Which fucking brilliant. They're going to sell a ton of pay-per-views. I know they did well on this one. This kid sold this fight, man. And like these people were eating up everything he was doing before the fight where I was just like, look, I'm sure some of this is like, yeah, he's like a bit of a mess. But like a lot of guys are like that where they like party and stuff and they still perform. Like fucking greatest UFC fighter ever is like that. You know, like some guys have to do that stuff. So like, and people like, I was telling you this before the podcast, like these people hate wrestling, right? All these fucking MMA and boxing fans, they all think this fucking thing, they hate this fake shit and it's silly and all that stuff. But anytime you bring the slightest amount of pro wrestling theatrics into their fucking world, these people like just spooning it up, bro. Just eating up every bit of it. Cause I'm just like watching this, like, this is just like, this guy's just working all these marks. Here it comes. He's working the marks. Like he bet $2 million on himself at 5+500. Let me tell you, that shit is not +500 if he doesn't spend the last fucking like 5 months convincing people he's crazy. I bet it was fucking 250 if people that was just normal Ryan Garcia. They're like, he probably would have been like, he's a better fighter, but Ryan, if he cracks him, could hurt him. That's like +250 is what it normally would be. 200 to 250. Man, cleaned up. Way to go.
I mean, I kind of feel like that seems Oval's just like a little, I don't know. I feel like some institution needs to be looking into this because, I mean, granted, he still has to win the fight, but
UFC fighters,
I don't know, it kind of feels like he's
they used to do it all the time, UFC
fighters. Manipulating the odds here.
I mean, he did manipulate the odds. He did. I tell you, like, my brother's like, I bet on Garcia. I only got +450, though. And I'm just like, yeah, that was not a +450 matchup, though. Like, that was, he should have been underdog, but not by that much. I don't know. I thought, I liked the kid. I was like, halfway through this, because I'm not a big Ryan Garcia fan. Not that I disliked him, but I remember, like, people were real down on him. And I'm just like, yo, this kid will fight anybody. Like, it's hard to get that in boxing. And more they're fighting each other now. But this dude's like, I'll fight Tank Davis. You're going to make a weird-ass hydration clause? Fuck it. I think the hydration clause is why he came in heavy on this one. Where he's just like, I'm not fucking around. Like, you're going to get me. If I'm going to go out there and lose, you're going to send me out there to lose, I'm going to at least be me. Like, fucking Garcia, Oscar is standing behind Ryan Garcia at the fucking post-fight press conference thing in the ring, trying to figure out if he's going to text his dealer now or is there time or not, because he's just getting twitchy. Like, It was a wild fucking night, man. It was like one of those things where I'm like, man, boxing can get so predictable, and that was awesome. That was great. I just thought it was wonderful. Like all these MMA fighters being like, Ryan's about to go down quick, and I'm just like, people are all about to look real dumb. Like, go down quick. Devin Haney was going to turn into a power puncher all of a sudden. Oh, that was going to happen. People are nuts. So that was awesome. That was really cool.
But do you think the second fight will actually make more money?
Yeah.
Because
yes,
I think so.
Oh yeah. People are in on this shit, man. This gets sold, this fight. That was awesome. Rematch will sell. Well, a bunch of people didn't see it. I've now been looking up highlights and stuff. You get the word of mouth shit happening. Like whenever something cool happens, you get the people like trying to find the word of mouth. Like, we'll talk about it later, but like all these people are now talking about Brian Danielson versus Will Ospreay, which mm-hmm. is saying is like the greatest match in the United States in like fucking ever or something like that. And like all these people are just like, oh, I gotta find a stream, yada yada yada, you know? That's what you're banking all this off of. That was real cool, man. Good for him, man. Made a lot of money. He deserved it. Cause he took 55% of the split too, because it's a bigger star.
Oh, nice.
Bigger star too. So he cleaned up. Good for him. More MMA related news. We're gonna be all over the place, folks. This is our mailbag episode, and we have no mailbag. So Mike and I are just coming up with our own shit. UFC stays cheap. Number one prospect in MMA, Paul Hughes. Fighting out of Cage Warriors. Normally the Cage Warriors guys get a direct line directly to the UFC. That is because the guy who is the promoter of Cage Warriors is also their manager. Which you say, guys, that sounds like not allowed. It is not allowed in the United States. In Europe, it's allowed. So Graham Boylan, who's the manager for many of these Cage Warrior fighters who get to the UFC, Pimblett, Patty. He also tends to book them in favorable matchups, which I was telling Junior about this. If you go look into on betting odds for Cage Warriors cards, if you see some giant lines, just go ahead and those are setups, basically. They're setting it up. This guy, though, Garen Boylan, not his manager. So he had to fight out his contract entirely because the guys the other guys he lets leave. And his manager is, I forgot his name, Tim. Fuck. He's Izzy's manager. He's Max's manager. He's a very good manager in MMA. And he's just said, like, and Paul Hughes, these kids, if you don't fucking come up with this dream of fighting into UFC, you know, if you aren't just going to, you're not going to get fucking convinced to take a 10-10 contract, man. You know, PFL offered him, you can be in these two tournaments. We'll get you a fight this year. You win three fights in the PFL, you're fighting for $1 million.
Yeah.
So that's the type of shit you got to do. So UFC stays cheap. So PFL's got to be this, man. But PFL's got to be this in a combination of big names if they can sign him.
But we can't be that too surprised by that, Bobby, as we know what the modus operandi for the UFC has been since they've gotten onto ESPN, and they essentially have just a base amount of revenue they're always going to be getting every year. They don't really care too much about the large stars on the top for the most part.
Nobody's granted, bigger than the three letters, right?
UFC 300, what have we been talking about for months? Oh, there's no like one standout real like person that they have anchoring this event. Mm-hmm. And that's how they do the rest of their business at this point. As you just said right now, no one person is bigger than the three letters. And that trickles down to they're not going to pay some hot prospect to come in. If they want to come, great, but they're not going to go above and beyond, I think, on how much they pay them. I'm pretty sure Bo Nickel's not getting paid a shit ton of money.
I think it's
he was a very highly regarded prospect.
I think if I'm coming up, right, I think I go to, if I'm like a guy who like, I think I'm going to like, the expectation is I'm going to be something, right? I'm not just going to be some like lunch pail MMA fighter. I think you go to PFL. Because they will, if you make a name for yourself somewhere else, they'll go get you. You know, they'll get MVP. Yeah. And then they pay MVP a bunch of money. Or they get Michael Chandler to pay him a bunch of money then. And Michael Chandler made a really good living before he got to the UFC too. Like a really, really good living. Michael Chandler beat Eddie Alvarez November 2011. He didn't get to the UFC for another 11 years, right? 10 years? He's getting paid a lot of money that whole time. Scotty Coker, Bjorn Rebney, they both made sure he was paid. So, did he become a UFC champion? No. He got fucking close still. So, you know, he lived a healthy life, comfortable life. You know, you're fucking Jim Miller 40 fights into the UFC. How much is Jim making, man? You know? 80?
I don't know.
Best case?
Maybe 80 and 80.
I think 80 and 80 is best case, right? So, yeah. So anyway. Speaking of UFC, let's go ahead and shit on Daniel Cormier for a minute here. Because I think I talked about it with Mark last week, the whole thing. We're in the middle of the fight with Yan Jonan. He was just like, yeah, I think there were smelling salts. And then Joe Rogan goes, well, I don't think that's allowed. So then the fucking adult at the table had to be like, just to confirm, we watched it back. There were no smelling salts. Because DC's just rolling live grenades into conversations that, like, it's absurd.
I've started not listening to the audio when I'm watching these the, you know, the next day or two afterwards. So I didn't hear that comment. But when I watched the fight, so I knew about the comment, but when I was watching the fight, I was looking like, where did he like see something that looks like, oh, she got hit with smelling salt? Because I don't know if you've ever sniffed a smelling salt, Bobby. Mm-hmm. Have you ever?
No, but I've heard, it's fucking, you get a visceral reaction.
It is instantaneous. The burning sensation that like enters your nostrils. That's not something you can just sniff and be like, oh, we're good. Like, you know when it's smelling salts that someone just sniffed. So I'm not exactly sure where Daniel Cormier gets off of this. I think he got hit in the head too much. I think his brain.
Dude, he's just like, he's got his own podcast. He's got his show with Chael, which, I mean, Chael is like a liar for entertainment's sake, which is not ideal anyway. DC is just a bumbling idiot of a liar. And like, what did he say? He said some shit about like the way, like how, like in the main event, if you remember correctly, Jamal, like Alex is trying to get close, right? He's trying to, it's MMA. We're trying to get a distance management thing going on here. And when he gets close, Jamal throws a low kick, cracks Alex in the nuts, which don't think it was intentional. You know, Jamal's trying to throw a low kick, right? And Herb goes to separate timeout, and then Alex goes, just stops him, right? And says, no, I'm good, right? Because obviously Alex is like, I found my distance here. I don't want to, you know, yada, yada, yada. It's like Cormier is just like, you know, how Herb Dean handled that the thing. Herb Dean did not enforcing the timeout. Like, some people are saying, like, it was a disadvantage to Jamal. And it's just like, basically implying that, like, you can just kick a guy in the nuts, you know, so we can reset the distance thing. And, like, they have to do something about it. And, like, fucking Big John McCarthy had to be like, I heard somewhere that people were questioning Herb Dean here. Herb Dean handled it exactly correct by the letter of the law. Like, if you were fouled upon, you don't have to accept the timeout. You can just continue to act. Like, who brought this up? Where did this come from that we had to address? Like, we don't have to address everything any fucking Twitter user tweeted you, Daniel Cormier, okay? Like, what the fuck? Like, let's take a better focus group than that. Like, what? I know we got to fill. I mean, look, we're recording a podcast right now. We're like half an hour in and we've said nothing. So I get that Daniel Cormier's got a podcast and a fucking YouTube channel and another show with Chael. And you got to fill hours because Mateus Nicolau is taking on Alex Perez this weekend. And fucking nothing happened last weekend. And, you know, here we are. Bro, like, what?
You could at least, if you want to entertain, you know, conspiracy theory shit like that, entertain it this way. User XYZ says that Yan Shonan used smelling salts. Well, that's just not true. Let's move on.
I just like, I think the commentary is really important in sports, to be honest, because they are right. What is it? I think JR said it one time with pro wrestling. I'm providing the lyrics to your music or something like that.
But that, like, is very poetic.
But even in non-poetic terms, you're there to explain what the fuck's happening, right? And, like, a lot of times I feel like they don't know what the fuck's happening. And I'm not, like, getting anything from the UFC commentary team, especially on pay-per-view. Like, especially when it's Joe and DC. Like, DC is the worst one of the three, and one of them is a fucking conspiracy theory host of Fear Factor. How is the guy who's a two-division world champion the one that's worse? Like, what?
Well, here's what I think at times when it comes to the UFC broadcast. Mm-hmm. Because I think when they first got on, like, Fox, mm-hmm. right? So this is more than a decade ago, I think, at this point. Mm-hmm. I think at that point, and that's also, I think, in the lifespan of just MMA in general. Because, I mean, we go back 12 years at this point, 14 years ago at this point. That's 50% of basically MMA's, you know, lifespan, right? So I think maybe about 10 years ago when the UFC started to get more on, like, broadcast TV on Fox, there was much more of a thought process and a game plan of, we need to educate the fans that are coming in. They don't know as much. This is how we have to do to get more fans in, right? Be more of an educational thing. Because I think there was a lot more of that back in, like, 2011, 2012. Now I think it's more, no, you motherfuckers are in here. Like, we're going for bombastic. We're going for the sideshow. We're going for personality. We don't need to educate you on this shit. You're here already, all right? You're behind the paywall watching this on ESPN Plus, I would assume, and you've bought this pay-per-view already, okay? We throw a bone every so often, have one on ABC, maybe one on, you know, ESPN normal. But besides that, we don't need to educate you fuckers anymore, okay? Like, here's Joe Rogan, and here's Daniel Cormier talking about smelling salts. So I think it's also more of a where the sport is going when it comes to the commentary, where, no, we're not going to educate you anymore, all right? You're here because you like these personalities in Joe Rogan and DC, and you're going to get maximum DC and Joe Rogan.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, like, it's not limited to, I don't know, man. I think, like, there's, like, when, like, other sports I watch, there's good commentators, there's bad commentators. I find, like, a lot of the NFL broadcast teams to, quite frankly, be terrible. Like, but, like, I know, like, for example, like, our baseball announcers here locally are always viewed near the top of all rankings. Like, we have really good baseball announcers. I think you guys are up there too, I think, actually. I think your guys do okay too.
Your play-by-play, John Miller.
Well, John doesn't really do it anymore. No, we don't really. I mean, John's old. I don't think he really does it anymore. It's really, we got Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko. And what's interesting is our play-by-play guy is also a former player, which normally your play-by-play guy isn't a former player. So
yeah,
he and they've been doing it for a long time. And Kruko used to be, Kruko won 20 games with the Giants. And they're always, like, highly regarded in all those fan polls. Our basketball duo is fucking terrible. Like, this whole run, like, Bob Fitzgerald and Kelana Azubuike. I love Azubuike as a player.
Azubuike
is so bad. And Bob Fitzgerald is so bad. And they're, like, the homerism is, like, bothersome for us even, like, how bad they are. Like, they're miserable. The Kings ones are pretty miserable too. And it really makes it less enjoyable. Like when the Warriors have a nationally televised game, I'm actually like, okay. Like, you know, I don't feel I'm missing out on shit, you know? Like, but, like, I mean, granted, Reggie Miller's terrible. But, like, when I watch, like, a national baseball game, I'm like, oh, these motherfuckers don't know any of our boys. You know, they don't know anything about this and stuff. Well, I think commentary is actually pretty important. That's why, like, the recent times have been so bad that, like, when, like, especially with fight sports, if I can get no commentary, like that Fury versus Ngannou fight I got with no commentary because the channel I was watching it on had, I don't know what was going on, zero commentary. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was left to my own devices where I was just like, is he winning? Like, I think he's winning. Like, it's incredible. Anyway. I would like this all to be better. That's what I'm getting at. I would like this all to be better. That's all I'm asking for. Other than that, let's see what we got going on. I think we might just move on to our top five list and just move on with our fucking lives. Ben Rothwell wants Mark Hunt to sign with BKFC. I want everybody to go home. I would like him to go home. I know he got legal fees to pay after he tried to sue the UFC, but
Ben Rothwell still out here, huh?
I want Ben to go home. I want you know, Mark to stay home. It's all chill out here. See, Nate Diaz and Jorge Masvidal went on like a four-city press tour for this boxing fight. They somehow got Nate to go all with them.
Do they think that they are Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo? Like, they really need a four press conferences?
I don't know. It's the same night as that Newark card. It's the same night as Islam versus Dustin in Newark at the Prudential Center.
Ooh, man, that might have to be like a two TV day for me, man.
I think it is going to be a two TV for me, depending on what else is on this boxing card. Do you see fucking Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano 2 is going to be co-main event of Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson?
Yeah, how about that?
Oh, dude, that is sick.
You can say a lot of things about Jake Paul, but you do got to give him props for, you know, giving a lot of, you know, like, I think what Amanda Serrano is his fighter.
Yeah.
Like, he's giving her a lot of burn and probably giving her paydays that she'll never be able to get.
Dude, I know that these two kids have like done some stuff and like people don't like them, both of them, for different reasons. I'll just say this. There are a lot of horrible people in the fight sports, so they don't seem bad in comparison to many of them.
Yeah.
I know that what's his name has got like a fucking fake crypto coin that cost people a bunch of money, right? That was the thing Logan did. And Logan also had the Japanese suicide forest thing, but I was not like, he was like fucking, like, I know not that it's an excuse, but it was not like 8 years ago now or something, like something like that, six, seven years ago.
It was a while ago. I think I was in Japan when he was doing that.
So I don't know, man. Sean Strickland's in the fucking UFC. Mike Tyson went to jail for raping someone. Just all remember that. He went to jail for raping someone. And we've all kind of just taken his word that it didn't really happen, but like, he's a convicted rapist, for what it's worth. Just saying. All right, we came up with that top five list. Let's just fucking do it, huh?
Yeah, let's go.
We're doing basketball. For your favorite, doing your five top five favorite Knicks, top five favorite Warriors. I might have to cheat a little bit and be like, just because I don't want to do too many from the current generation, I might have to just combine Clay, Steph, and Draymond into one person just to like.
Fair enough.
But we'll see. Enough. I'm going to go. I'll lead off. I got Jason Richardson. Jason Richardson, known as Jay Rich to you youngins, was a two-time dunk champion. Should have been three-time. My man tripped trying to do this ridiculous dunk off the backboard. He tried to go off the backboard between his legs or something, and it wasn't working. Windmill. It was off the backboard between the legs, windmill. He couldn't pull it off, and then Fred Jones won that third dunk contest. So we were bad. The Warriors were bad. You don't can ever fucking doubt my Warrior fandom. Warriors were bad for as long as I could consciously aware of their existence, which let's say like age 6 or 7, maybe 8, honestly, up until like 2014. Okay. It was like one good year in the middle there with We Believe.
That
okay.
One year, the We Believe Warriors.
Correct? Yeah. I drank so much when we won. We beat Dallas. Oh my God. We were in that bar. Multiple people lost their wallets that night. It was one of those. fucking standing on a fucking bar table, getting a Don Nelson chant going. What a day. Anyway, so the Warriors were so bad for so long that like you kind of like had these little guy like Jay Rich in the All Star break was all we had. It's the only time we ever met anybody acknowledged our existence because we were terrible. So like Jay Rich was like. People talk about the dunk contest being bad. It's been bad for a long time. But like post Vince Carter, there was a couple of years there where our guy Jay Rich was holding it down. And he was the man. And I was always like sad that he never got like the ring when he was with us or anything like that. He never got a ring. But he was our guy for a long time. And he really like, he remember him writing, taking a big page out of the newspaper to apologize when we didn't make the playoffs one year. We had a bad year. And it always stuck with us. And he was awesome. It was a guy went from winning a national championship with Tom Izzo to having to go play with us for fucking 7 years and, you know, being terrible. But he was there for We Believe. So, Jay Rich, that's my first one. My other one is not far less explanation. So,
at least he got a championship at some point in his career. Granted, it was in college. Yeah, him but and Mateen. Him he and got
Mo Pete and Mateen Cleaves. Mateen Cleaves. Yeah. I think Mo Pete was there too. That's a cool Michigan State team. Sorry. Go ahead.
First one for me, I think I got to start off strong. It's going to be Carmelo Anthony. He's in my top five for sure. One, he went to our alma mater as well, Syracuse. Mm-hmm. And also, look, people gave Carmelo a lot of shit during his run here in New York. Mm-hmm. But hands down, in the last, during this century, he has been the best Knick by far. Multiple all-star appearances. He was a clear number one option. People gave him a lot of crap because, you know, there were a lot of years the Knicks didn't make the playoffs. But, yo, outside of that, like, 1 year when the Knicks had, you know, Jason Kidd at the end of his career, Pablo Prigioni, a surprise rookie point guard who was, like, 38 but off the bench but was amazing. I think it was a resurgent Marcus Camby in there somewhere, like coming off the bench or something. Outside of that 1 year when we won like 52 games, he really didn't have any type of roster around him. So, you know, he was by himself for a lot of that time, just trying to make the most of it. And, you know, he's been the best Knick I've seen play. Since my fandom has come into fruition, maybe around like 99. So Carmelo Anthony is on my top five.
All right, Tim Hardaway.
Timmy.
When I was a kid, I was never tall anyway. But when I used to play, I was like playing like point guard and stuff. And you know, I love Tim Hardaway. Tim Hardaway, when we traded him to Miami. Sorry, buddy. I know you hated those teams. But that Miami team, because of Timmy, that was a fun... When Miami was playing the Knicks those years, when it was literal fights, when like it was Zoe and Timmy, and then like mm-hmm. PJ Brown tilt-a-whirl suplexed Charlie Brett Ward into the first row. That fucking... Tim Hardaway was like post-ACL injury, and he was a little slower, but he still fucking went, bro. Those Miami teams are good. And like, when people talk about crossovers, they always talk about Allen Iverson. But before Allen Iverson, the guy who was really doing the cross, like they talk about crossover, it was Tim Hardaway. Tim Hardaway's crossover was sick. You know, it's that whole team with him, Chris Mullin, and Mitch Richmond, kind of well-known and stuff for people, run TMC, but...
Wasn't Tim Hardaway's crossover called the UTEP two-step?
Yeah. They don't call UTEP UTEP anymore, though. Like, UTEP isn't the name of the school anymore. But it was University of Texas, El Paso. His son's a Knick, right? Or was a Knick? He's gone now, right?
Yeah. Last I remembered, he was on the Mavs, but that may have been a year or two ago.
He's taller than his pops. He's taller than his pops. Fucking
not as skilled, though.
Yeah, GP2, taller than his pops, too. Interesting.
Not as skilled either.
But so Tim Hardaway also, like, worth mentioning. Tim Hardaway said some really, like, horrible stuff about gay people back when... Jaren or Jason was gay. Jaren Collins?
One of them. Yeah.
Jaren Collins. One of them said it was gay. And he was on Levitard's show, right? Like, this is not funny, but also funny in retrospect, where he's like saying, like, yeah, I just really don't like gay people, you know, don't really want to play, you know, to associate, yada, yada, yada. And then, like, Dan Levitard's like, ah, Timmy, you know, we're live on the air. And he goes, yeah, I don't care. I don't like gay people. Like, he's just in. Since then, Tim is really like, really actually made an effort, and he goes to like worked with like the Trevor Project and a bunch of different like, you know, gay advocate groups, LGBT groups. So Tim's actually come around and like he's accepted back locally, especially in the Bay Area. You're going to have fucking attitude like that. But yeah, Tim Hardaway is my second one. What you got?
Not bad on that second one. Second one for me is a bit of a curveball. Mm-hmm. It is. There was a point in the early aughts, and I think actually this guy may have been on the 99 team that went to the finals as a bench player, but there was a point in the early aughts where the Knicks just had a gluttony of like 6'8 to 6'9 power forwards. Mm. And one of those power forwards stood out amongst the rest, for me at least. And that was Kurt the Hurt Thomas. All right. I gave him the Hurt as a nickname, but The reason why I always called him Kurt the Hurt Thomas was, one, he always had a look on his face like someone shit in his cereal. And two, yeah, he was a pretty good defender, bordering on, you know, kind of dirty. And he had some, you know, years with the Knicks when he averaged, you know, 15, 16 points. And I think there was one year, his last year, I think, with the Knicks, when he averaged maybe about 19 and 10. And it had been a few years since the Knicks had had an all-star in the all-star game. And I remember here in New York, people were like, Kurt Thomas, all-star reserve, let's go, baby. Oh, those are lean years for the Knicks. Jesus. But I always have a soft spot for Kurt Thomas.
That generation, that like late 90s era of the 10 and 10 power forward, like 10 points, 10 rebounds power forward.
Yeah.
Like I said, like PJ Brown was one of those guys. Like you needed dudes like that. Like, what's his name? We got his dad was like that. The Davis kid.
Dale Davis?
Yeah, we have his son.
Antonio Davis?
Oh, I think we have Dale's son as our team.
Okay,
now.
I don't know what his name is.
Yeah, TJD. Trace Jackson Davis. I don't know. Dale wasn't a great dad. But, like, having a power forward, like, we could, like, go 10 and 10. And Kurt Thomas was, like, the epitome of that dude. That was, you know, Kurt Thomas was awesome. I was going to try to avoid the current generation Warriors, but it's going to be very difficult because they brought me so much happiness. So, fuck it. I'm going with Loon Dog. All right? I'm going with my guy Looney. All right. I love Kayvon Looney. Okay. Kayvon Looney has got the knees of a 103-year-old fucking mummy. Okay. Loon Dog is giving you everything he's got at all times. Okay. I'm going to miss him because I think he's gone, to be honest. He's 28 years old and like it feels like he's just in shambles injury wise at all times. I don't know what kind of injuries he had at UCLA, but he has been an invaluable member of our team. And like, he is in a team that like, you got a lot of big personalities and like stars, like his, when he goes out there and gets like 7-7 or 6-6 on a year, those are important fucking 7-7s. And he's just, someone's got to do that shit, man. And like, Draymond can puff his chest out and all that shit. And he needs to, and Draymond's very important, but big man's behind him, ready to fucking clothesline a motherfucker if he needs to. Okay? So, Kayvon Looney is my next one. You.
All right. Next one for me. Probably the shortest tenured, you know, definitely the shortest tenured Nick that I have in my top five. But, God, he gave us such a magical month in the winter of, I think that was 2012. Mm. And of course, I am talking about Jeremy Lin.
Lin Jeremy, baby.
Knicks fans who were adults and I guess teenagers to this day, much like how when you ask someone, where were you when Kennedy got shot? Where were you when 9/11 happened? Where were you? You know, how there are some historical events where you'll ask them, hey, what were you doing when this happened? Where were you when, like, you found out Princess Diana died, right? I was
Lake Tahoe.
I was in the backseat of a car in DR.
Yeah, Lake Tahoe.
At the time. There you go. Jesus, River, you got to play with that toy right now. For me, it's where were you when Jeremy Lin dropped, like, 35 points against Kobe Bryant's Lakers? I was in a bar in Midtown. High-fiving strangers. I'd never high-five strangers. It was amazing. I had never been so happy as a Knicks fan. Ah, mm-hmm. Oh, man, Jeremy Lin. I hope he's getting a lot of money in whatever CBA team he's in right now.
He was fun, man.
Good man.
He was a Warrior before he was a Nick. And like, he kept playing horrible.
Literally that season.
Yeah, he was playing. He always played horrible at home. Because he, like, I don't know if he's from here, but, like, I think he was actually from here, if I'm not mistaken. And Steph's theory was always, like he doesn't play well in front of in front of his family and friends. It's too stressful. That's why we'd go to games and he just wasn't good. look, it's Klay Thompson time, baby, okay? I didn't, by the way, I'm not going to say Draymond next, and it's not because I don't love Draymond. I do love Draymond, okay? Fuck all of you, all right? Four rings. Count them, bitch. And let me tell you who's going to make him count those rings. Klay Thompson, because motherfucker throws the four up anytime he needs to. Klay is one of the most self-aware basketball players I think has ever existed. Like, he does stuff, and then, like, he threw the four fingers up at Devin Booker. But and then, like, he went on Paul George's podcast, Klay, and he's just like, man, I shouldn't have done that. I got to be a veteran, set a good example, and I'm out here doing this. Sorry, Book. I was in my feelings that day. I don't know, man. He's so vulnerable at times. Like, and, like, he's got a swagger about him. But, like, Klay is – the reason this has worked, this Warrior thing has worked, is that these three dudes are all different and the same on some level, and they complement each other. And, like, Klay is just – I think he's like a subreddit on Reddit. There's a subreddit called Just Klay Things. And like there's like so many things, like random Klay things that you like we've all like seen over the years. Where like the time a fucking balcony in Berkeley broke and some people fell and like I think someone might have died or minimum they have horrible injuries. And they did like the local news is doing a man on the street interview of people who saw it. And they like Klay Thompson, NBA player, is just there. Just being like, yeah, you know, I saw that this happened and yada, yada, yada. There was that. There was a time where, like, this IG girl, I know her name. Give me a second.
Abigail Ratchford.
Yeah. And she was like, she's like, guess where I'm at? Like, who she's hooking up with? And it was like, people saw, like, Rocco the Bulldog in one of her pictures. It was a bunch of basketballs was one picture. And the next picture was, like, a Bulldog, right? But all the fucking Warrior fans know Rocco, which is Klay's Bulldog. Because the fucking Bulldog's famous at this point. So people were just like, Klay's hooking up with this IG girl. All right, way to go, Klay. You know, there was like Klay fucking, you know, riding his boat after winning the championship in 2022. And then like the next day and immediately he's videoing this and the fucking championship hat flies off his head and goes into the middle of the bay. Like there's like, what is it? The story of they fucking went to do the Hampton Five. Thing where they're meeting with Klay, the Hampton thing, right? And I guess Klay got to the house a day early and like just went out to party and like came back. And, like, when like this whole thing apparently started with like a group text, and KD's like, who's this other number? And like, I guess he had to text Draymond, like, who's this other number in the group text? And Klay, Draymond had to be like, it's Klay. And then KD's like, honestly, didn't know he had a phone. We were on Team USA together, never said a fucking word to me. Like, every part of Klay is a fucking cartoon, bro. It's like, you know, when they asked Klay when KD showed up, you know, are you all like, Klay, you know, people are going to have to sacrifice a little bit, you know, with KD here, right? Klay just said, I ain't sacrificing shit. I'm shooting 20 times a night. He did. Klay's shot attempts didn't go down by one when KD was here. I love Klay Thompson, man, and I hope he stays. I know we may not win anything, but Steph Curry has earned the right for this team to be whatever it wants to be for as long as he wants to stay. So I hope Klay stays. Stay away, Dallas. It's not cool.
What if he wants like $25 million a year?
I don't care. That's actually not bad. The guy like had a really good year statistically. He just played horribly in the last like game of the year. Like led the league in free throw shooting too, for what it's worth. Still did okay. So I think he's gonna get around 22. It's my guess. How much did they just pay fucking Grayson Allen to just injure people?
Yeah, but Grayson Allen is like 28 years old.
He's not good at basketball. He just hits people. All right, hey, go ahead.
Sometimes let's you
this
need up. That.
This is go ahead. Let's go. Your fourth one.
Mm-hmm. My next one is a very recent Nick, and it is Jalen Brunson. And the reason why is one, you know, kind of embodies that New York underdog story. As much as you can for being a multi-fucking millionaire. But people thought he was over... What were you laughing about?
Let me tell you, man. This dude just shot 7 for 28. If Dante DiVincenzo doesn't hit that three, Jalen Brunson is not part of this fucking conversation. He got saved.
he still would be. He still would be. Dante DiVincenzo, whitest black dude you ever know. No. Blackest white dude you'll ever meet. But... You know, when the Knicks signed him, people were shitting on the signing. People wanted Donovan Mitchell. They thought that even at the reasonably priced contract, considering the other contracts that are out there in the NBA, that Jalen Brunson got, that we overpaid, that we weren't going to be anything but at most a 4 or 5 seed with Jalen Brunson as your number one. And he's proven people wrong in the 2 years that he's been with the Knicks. Julius Randle has been injured off and on for the last 2 years. And people thought, well, if you don't have Julius Randle, what can you really do? And this year, Julius Randle got hurt in January. And all Jalen Brunson did was get the Knicks to the number two seed in the East. And you know me, Bobby. I don't have much hope for any team I root for because I hit the I won't say the lottery because that's not the correct word, but I'm a Mets and Jets fan along with being a Knicks fan. So it's just been a lot of misery in my life. But I really do think, I don't think we're going to win this year, but because we have Jalen Brunson as a cornerstone and we have a lot of really good young players, I think we actually have a chance in the next year or two to really compete.
You have a good team.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about the 2 seed, but that's a conversation for the Eastern Conference entirely. Warrior fans, by the way, are out here celebrating Dante because he was ours last year. We're a big fan. We all like Dante a lot. We all know he was gone anyway. It was a 1 year, you know, get a contract type thing. All right, Steph Curry. Nobody has ever ran the Bay Area as a sports figure the way Steph Curry has.
Not even Barry Bonds?
No. People didn't like Barry Bonds also. We didn't win either. We never won. We should have won. Man hit 560 in the 2002 World Series with like 6 jacks and we still didn't win. Oh, Dusty Baker. So like I was talking to Phil about this, our friend Phil, and I think he's talking about New York and he's saying like, man, when the Knicks are good, it's different than like when like the other teams are good in New York, right? And it's the same thing with the Warriors, and this means less because we're losing teams here hands over fist, but like we all grew up here with 2 football teams and 2 baseball teams. You know, we had 1 basketball team. And look, I know you guys got the Nets, but like it's like if the Kings moved here. The Kings are not the Bay Area. The New Jersey's not. They just got here, okay? I know it's going to take a while for them to establish. Maybe one day it changes, but so like we all root for the Warriors. That's why it was so fun when we got good. Like we all root for the Warriors. A bunch of these people used to be Laker fans. I see them. I know you. You all had Kobe jerseys when we were in high school. Don't lie to me, okay? But like we all root for him. And like, dude, we won. I told you when we won, I went to the front of our apartment building with 2 beers, Stone Cold Steve Austin style. And then I realized there's no way Stone Cold's doing these with cold beers because holy fuck, it was so cold. Oh my God, it was cold. But like, and then like when we lost the next year, I'm not kidding when I say like it didn't really hurt when we blew the 3-1 lead because I couldn't wrap my head around the first one still. We were still getting like reliving the first one. And then we went 73-9. Then we lost. And it was like, and then like 3 weeks after we lost the championship, not even, when's the fucking season end? Like June 15th, June 16th, 4th of July, we got KD. So like, it's all been, and Steph Curry made that happen. I don't know what the other NBA player lets that happen, man. Where he lets someone, it's his team. That is his team, all right? It always was his team. It stayed being his team. And he invites KD over. Like, man wanted to win. All he wanted was to win, you know? He had 2 MVPs, 1 ring. And he's like, no, I want to win. We get KD, we win. Like, this is, and then like he did like the slander he was taking when he had to go win another one. He didn't have a finals MVP. As if this fucking matters. So we had to go win a whole ass new championship, Mike, in 2022. We had to win a whole new one against a team that was definitely more talented than us. Like, we all talk about that 2022 like one, and I was 100% sure we were going to win. Basically because of him. I'm like, he's not going to let us lose. If it's in his power, we're not losing to the fucking Celtics, to these children, and we didn't. I love Steph Curry, man. Steph Curry can do no wrong to me. Dude went out there after we won that championship. If you want some fun, you go look up Steph Curry Paramore, where my man gets on stage at the Chase Center and sings Misery Business. in front of 20,000 people. He does the song. He performs Misery Business.
Really?
Like, yeah. Wow. I'll send it to you when this is over. It's dude is just, as someone put it, this guy's just side questing everything. Like, he won that golf championship last year. Like, dude. Like, Steph Curry's the man. Steph Curry's the man. Got four fucking parades out of Steph Curry. And you know what? If he wants to just ride this out with his homies Draymond and Clay, and we aren't good, and we like are middling for a couple years, okay. If tomorrow Steph Curry's contract is up and says, "Hey, I want to go play a year in Charlotte," okay. Nothing bad to say. Remember when like KD got angry that like he said at one point KD said something like they didn't really like the fans didn't like me, they didn't appreciate like they didn't treat me the way they treated Steph. It's like honestly like. We knew how good you were, bro, but, like, we drafted this dude.
Yeah. You drafted him, and by the time you guys had won the championship, I think part of it is also it's not like he came in and was awesome, you know? Mm. He had to go through a lot of, trials. He came in, he had ankle issues for, like, what, the first 3-4 years of his career? Which, frankly, in a weird way, that's what allowed you guys to become the dominant team that you are, because he signed a 4-year, $44 million deal.
Which we weren't sure if he deserved because he couldn't play. He couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
We're like, is this a mistake when we gave it to him? Like, what are we doing? Dude, the series of things that have to go right for this all to work out is kind of funny. Like,
and so the Warriors' credit. Because I remember at the time when he was like winning unanimous MVPs under that deal, people are like, this is bullshit. The Warriors got lucky, but you can also think of it as the Warriors had faith in him, even with all of those ankle issues that they were like, because I think a lot of other teams may have just said, this isn't worth the risk. We look what we've had for the last few years. Like the kid can't stay healthy. Right. And he showed no ability to really stay healthy in all of those years, because it's not like any of them were really like freak injuries. It was just this man's ankles just can't hold up.
And what did LeBron say about him the other day? This is the single most influential player. Man, literally, I'm watching the fucking like game now and I'm just like, some of it is just like these people can't shoot. So like, I'm like, why are you shooting like this? But like, dude just pulls up. Dude, you have to guard him from half court. You have to pick him up. Like, we were just watching the end of that Knicks game, right? And I'm not shitting on your team, but, like, when you guys gave, like, Joel, like, when, like, Maxey doesn't get guarded until he gets to the top of the three-point line, or, like, Joel's in the corner, and I'm just like, man, Steph would have pulled up three steps before he got to this defender. And it's just wild, man. You have to shoot. Everybody has to shoot. If you can't shoot, you can't stay on the court. You know? It couldn't function if you can't shoot. Anyway, what's your last one?
My last one is not nearly as influential a player as Stephen Curry is, but he is my favorite Knick of all time. The first jersey I ever bought when I was 15, I still own. It's basically just a thing I used to go to sleep in. But it's number 20 for the Knicks, Allen Houston. I really don't know why I have such a big connection with Allen Houston. I think it has something to do with I was a bit of a late bloomer when it comes to liking sports. I really didn't enjoy watching any until I was about 14 or 15. And it was around that time that it was Latrell Sprewell and Allen Houston who were the two main options for the Knicks. And for me, I gravitated more towards Allen Houston. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because in whatever basketball games we were playing at the time, he was the better three-point shooter, and I would always just chuck up shots with Allen Houston. But for me, he was my guy. Historically, the time the NBA made the first amnesty rule, it was called the Allen Houston rule.
You didn't even use it on him. That was the best part.
We used it on the junkyard dog, Jerome.
The limo driver murderer.
Yeah. Wait, what?
No, junkyard dog wasn't. That was Jason Williams. Sorry. Sorry, Jerome.
Yeah, Jerome Williams. Yeah. Jerome Williams, the Junkyard Dog. But yeah, he's sadly now he's like one of the James Dolan stooges. He's been an executive for the Knicks for God knows how many years. But hey, he's not hurting the Knicks now. So, and I'll always just remember him fondly for his time in his playing days. And sadly, his career got cut a little short because of knee injuries. To this day, I think that if he had been able to remain healthy when, like, the hand-checking rules got, you know, they got loosened a bit, considering with his three-point shooting, you know, he would have had a much longer run at the top. Middle to the top.
We both could have said spree. It would have been a nice moment. Just saying. I didn't really like spree when he was here, man. In fairness, I didn't mind that he choked the coach. That was the best thing he did. But it was like the whole like civil war with Don Nelson, Chris Webber. Spree was on Team Webber. And if we want to do the list of my least favorite Warriors, number one is Chris Webber. Just want to point that out there. He's also number 2 through 5 because fuck Chris Webber. This is why they were bad for fucking, like, all I know is like 2001 and they're like, Warriors owed somebody a pick from like a 1995 trade where we gave up Chris Webber. I'm like, how are we still losing shit here? What happened? All right, let's do stuff we like and call it a day. I watched AEW Dynasty. Mike watched AEW Dynasty. I'm not going to go through the whole card. It's good. We always do this. AEW does a really good job on pay-per-view. They don't do bad cards.
Yep.
I don't know what's going on with Chris Jericho. The audience isn't into him, but like, I don't care. I would have rather he didn't win. I think he needs to go home for a little bit. That's just a quick thought. He always finds a way to get back over again. He'll make an adjustment and be Chris Jericho. He's been doing it for 30 fucking years. That I just want to say that match between Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson, my expectations were extremely high and it exceeded them. So
I'm still not sure if Danielson's shoulder is hurt or not.
No, it wasn't. That was a whole like bit at the press conference and stuff. Like, yeah. Bryan likes to scare his fans. Someone described it well. Bryan Danielson likes to scare his fans. Like, pretty much. Like, when Bryan will take, like, he'll do this, like, that drop kick off the top rope and act like he took a bad head bump. And then he'll do a kip up. That bullshit. Where he's trying to scare us all. I'm just, dude, Will Ospreay's awesome. And Bryan Danielson's best wrestler I've ever seen, I think. He's just so good. He can do whatever you want. He's so good. And he's so clearly having a good time. It makes you have a good time. Because this man, they took this away from him. Like, it wasn't malicious. They thought he couldn't do this anymore. So That was awesome. And I think it's pretty cool that Swerve was able to become world champion. As much as I love Samoa Joe, first black champion in AEW. My champion is
male
black.
Male champion.
Huh? That's true. We're not giving girl
male champion.
Yeah, we're not giving our credit to our girl Nyla. And we're not giving credit to, well, TBS isn't world title. But Willow won earlier in the night the TBS title. And Jade also was TBS champion, but world champion, you know, it's awesome. So I like Swerve. They recreated the photo of Kobe with that jacket. Kobe's got that big leather jacket. He's holding thing. Yeah. I'll send it to you. It was, Ryan Loco is a really good photographer. I guess like he had because Swerve was wearing this cool jacket and they decided to recreate it. And that was pretty awesome, man. So it was a good show. I think it would behoove you to, check out the Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay match because I think if you want to show somebody wrestling and why wrestling is awesome, I think that's a good example of just a really fun match and why, you know, this fake thing can still be cool to watch. So that's what I got. What do you got this week, Mike?
I was actually going to mention AEW as well, but the other thing I think I want to mention is Fallout. I don't know if you guys have.
I was about to ask if you're watching Fallout
or if you guys talked about it last week.
I think Mark did. I haven't watched it. I've never played the game either. But now people are telling me even if I didn't play the game, I should watch the show. Like it's that good. So.
Yeah, and I think we talked about it slightly in one of our group chats, I think yesterday or 2 days ago. But yeah, even if you haven't played the game, I think you're going to find a lot of enjoyment out of the show. My girlfriend had never played a minute of the show and of the game, and she tore through all 8 episodes. She really enjoyed it. I'm on episode 7 of 8 right now, and I've been trying to watch it with the lens of, well, let me pretend I haven't played the game. Are they really like explaining the world pretty well? And I think they do, because one thing that they do in the show is that there's 3 main characters in the show, whereas in the video game, you're always like just someone who leaves one of the vaults from the game. And one thing I like that they do is that one of the characters is basically used as for flashbacks for, you know, maybe half of his screen time to show what happens before the, as you can imagine, considering the name of the show, the nuclear fallout. And one thing that's pretty cool is that it actually gives some color and some backstory and history that actually isn't even present in the video games as to how the world gets to how it got to. So I can't recommend Fallout any more than I can. The leads in the show, Walter Goggins, plays a ghoul on the show. I can't remember what the black dude's name is, but I think the main character for this show is the female lead, Ella Purnell, and she's awesome. I don't know if you've ever watched the show, what's the name of it, the Bumblebees, the show that had Christina Ricci.
Oh,
where,
yeah, what was the name of that show? I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
she was really good in that show. Yellow Jackets, that was the name of the show. She was really good in that show as well. So I mean, I was gonna watch Fallout anyway, but when I saw that she was gonna be in the show, I was like, oh cool, I'm definitely gonna give this a shot now. So Bobby, I can't recommend the show any more to you.
I need stuff to watch, man. I'm watching X-Men 97, which is emotional terrorism, by the way, that show. Just want to point that out. It's fucking emotional. You watching that show? You're watching, right?
I haven't watched the last few. The last episode I watched was the Madeline Pryor episode.
Okay, so this is what's going to happen at the end of this podcast. You're going to watch the video I'm about to send you of Steph Curry singing with Paramore, because it remains one of the more entertaining things I think I've seen in a long time from a fucking NBA player who's just so in the zone. He doesn't give a fuck what you think about his singing. Okay, let's go with that, all right? Then, Shawad, you got to get caught up on X-Men 97, because I need people to talk to about this. And I don't talk, you know.
No doubt.
So, yeah, all I'm watching right now is X-Men 97 and Young Sheldon. That's it. You know, Young Sheldon's a good show, by the way, for what it's worth.
Well, if you haven't watched Warrior, you should probably give that a shot. That's on Netflix.
How about Shogun? I'm supposed to watch Shogun, I thought.
You should watch Shogun. You should watch Warrior.
Wait, which one's Warrior?
Both of those are good shows. It's the show that's based off the writings of Bruce Lee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can't watch baseball in April or May or June. I'm not watching baseball. My rule with that at this point is I need to be 500 by July. That's when I'll check in.
And if I'm right, I think I remember you telling me even back in law school, and mind you, you guys were good back then. I think I remember you saying, I'll check in on the Giants after the All-Star break. If they're above 500... then I'll pay attention.
Dude. Well, that was also because I try to pay for the MLB thing and try to watch at night. And like, let me tell you, if you stay up watching a baseball game that started at 10 p.m. and you lose, especially baseball, where like, even if you're good, you lose a third of your games. Like you could be, if you only lose a third of your games, you were excellent that year. So like, everybody wins a third of their games. Everybody loses a third of their games. It's the other third that matters. We're playing the Mets, right? You and me made a bet.
That's right, and it's not looking good for me so far because you guys are beating us pretty well.
Speaking of beating pretty well, the Lakers are dog walking the fucking Nuggets right now by 20. Beginning of the third ish. Yeah, And like, I can't, I mean, my basketball team didn't make the playoffs, and our apparently the Sharks had the worst record in the Western Conference. So even if I wanted to pay attention to hockey, it's not possible. So, you know, I'm excited for the NFL draft. That's my shit. I am going to come home early to watch the NFL draft. Not kidding. So anyway, we're back next week. Should have DJ Mark back. Lavender Goom should be here. We're going to preview UFC 301, which, when was the last time we had a pay-per-view main card where we only pick like three fights, but that might happen. That might be what happens in this one, to be honest. But yeah, check out Fallout. Check out Danielson versus Ospreay. Don't buy the pay-per-view. You know, Daily Motion, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, something. You know, make it work. So yeah, should do that stuff. And that's it. So I was Dr. Law. That was Lavender Gooms. Thank you for this real random ass episode we put together. Thank you guys for listening. Still end up going an hour and 20 minutes. Much of that, but half of that was basketball talk. But what are you going to do? Till next week, as I mentioned, I'm Dr. Law. That's Lavender Gooms. Peace out.
See ya. Yo. How long do you think Swerve holds the title?
I think baby faces shouldn't hold the title too long in wrestling. Like, people have this idea that Cody's going to hold it for a year. I think it's hard to do that without getting hated. I'm going to go all out. I'm going all out or all in. September? Okay.
All right.
Let's go September. At most, November. So, thanks for listening, guys. Peace.